the opening kickoff. Here are Mark and Lee.
All right, 6:05 here on a Friday morning. Welcome into another edition. It's our Bishop State Spring Drive for Championships. We're presented by Mobile Oral and Facial Surgery. Mark Heim, Lee Shervanian, Matt McCoy, and Air Sports One from the campus of Sarah Land High School, Lee Shervanian.
I'm looking forward to this show as we are right next to the great field house at Sarah Land. We'll be talking to some of the coaches of spring sports. Also, Jeff Kelly will be along. He could tell us about one of his wide receivers who just verbally committed to West Virginia, Jarrell Williams. We have a lot to talk about in headlines, starting with the Masters. Only 12 golfers broke par. You could say the course won out, the wind, the fast greens, whatever. Justin Rose was the only one who conquered. And, Mark, you and I talked about this as we were going through golfers, and we did at the end. None of us picked Justin Rose, but I said this is a guy to watch. Now, this is the fourth time he has led the Masters after the first round, but he has never won. Some of the highlights at the Masters are lowlights. Highlight was Tommy Fleetwood with a ace. That's the 32nd ever hole-in-one at the Masters. And then there's Rory McIlroy. And you remember we also talked, none of us took him.
Right.
He hit his dad with a golf shot.
I saw that, and it was funny because he didn't seem to care one way or the other. He was like, yeah, that's my dad. Like,
yeah.
Almost like, hey, nice shot.
Get out of the way. When he hit him, didn't it deflect back in his favor,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So maybe the dad stuck his foot out. Well, kind of like a baseball player sticking his arm out.
I was going to say, you wouldn't be the only one yesterday.
Mike Conforto is a member of the New York Mets. Controversy ensued yesterday. I hope we have a clip coming up in a few minutes. You're going to love this. The Mets win their home opener over Miami 3-2. They were down 2-1 in the bottom of the ninth inning. They tied it on a McNeil home run. They load up the bases. Conforto comes up. He's got two strikes. I don't remember what the ball strike count was. But the bases are loaded, and the pitcher for Miami bats. Throws a strike. I mean, it was right down the middle. However, Conforto, a left-handed batter, actually stuck his elbow out. He got a lot of padding there, and the ball glanced off his elbow, and he was awarded first base. But wait a minute. The umpire, the plate umpire, Ron Coppola, they reviewed to see if he was hit. But the umpire, in his discretion, could call him out for what he did, for sticking it, but he didn't. He allowed him to go to first, and the Mets win the game. Afterwards, the umpire, Ron Kolpelmark, admitted he blew the call.
Yeah, so it's one of those deals in baseball where there are certain things that are reviewable and certain things that aren't reviewable, but the ridiculousness of it all, and we've talked about this in football and basketball, is if you see something that went wrong when looking at a replay, if you're looking at one thing and find something else, you should be able to correct the call. That is the point of instant replay. And we've talked about this ad nauseum in basketball and football, and the fact that the game ended the way it did, where he clearly, I'll say this, watching it live, I didn't really notice how intentional it was, but boy, when you play it back, you can see him stick that elbow out, and it's just one of those deals where it's just common sense, people. I know what the rules are, but if you're looking at the replay for one thing and see something else, it's pretty clear.
I have seen this before, and when I've seen it, the umpire has called the batter out. The umpire can do that. And I saw it in real time as the game was ensuing, and it was pretty obvious to me. That pitch was a strike. There is no way Conforto should have been hit by that pitch. He stuck his elbow out. Umpire should have called him out immediately. He didn't need a replay on that, and they don't have to in a play like that. I thought what was really fascinating to me was the way the Mets announcers went ballistic against the call, allowing Conforto to go to first and win the game, even though they're calling the game on behalf of the Mets. They were adamant that the batter, Conforto, should have been called out.
Yeah.
So that's what I found even fascinating. The one result yesterday that just shocked me, SEC baseball, Georgia Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt, number one in the nation, Mark, had the nation's best pitching staff. Kumar Rocker was pitching last night. Rocker with a .84 ERA under a run a game. Georgia beats number one ranked Vanderbilt 14-2. They hit 7 home runs in the game against Vanderbilt. Rocker, in his previous 158 innings, had allowed only 2 home runs. He left the game after giving up 3. Amazing. That's what sports is all about. You just never know.
How about them Bulldogs? Root? That's right. By the way, Stephen Root back in the studios of WNSP. I know it's a banner day for the Root family. That's all I got to say about
just
that.
Just an amazing, amazing accomplishment. I mean, nobody saw that coming for sure. The SEC basketball player of the year, Herb Jones of Alabama, no surprise here, announced he is entering the draft. And Damari Burnett, one-time five-star player basketball, is transferring from Texas Tech to Alabama. So those are some of the stories in baseball also besides the hit-by-pitch, which resulted in controversy. I asked Dan Jennings on he was on yesterday about this Mercedes, the kid on the White Sox. He's not a kid. He's, I think, like 28 or 29. And yesterday, he hit a home run over 485 feet, which is the second longest, I think, in White Sox history. But this guy has come out of nowhere, and is just he's batting well over 500. I know it's early. It's only 1 week, but 485 feet. It was a titanic shot yesterday, and the White Sox won. And then also in that game, here we are in the first week, and we know a complete game is so unusual. Lance Lynn went the distance and threw a five-hit shutout. I mean, like, usually in a shutout these days, you got about five pitchers out there. He pitched a complete game. So those are some of the sports headlines. Of course, we'll be talking a lot about Saraland Sports out here, as well as Bishop State. I do want to thank Chick-fil-A and Greer's Market and Cash Saver.
All right, so we got a lot going on today. As always, we encourage you to join the conversation. 694-1055 is the number. And so we were talking a little bit about how the blown call in the Mets game. There have been specific instances in sports, I guess more so in football, because we talk so much football. What does this compare to in football? The fact that they went to replay, saw something that was obviously egregious, but they couldn't by rule overrule it because you can't review whether or not he intentionally put himself out there to get hit. So we're trying to think of what that corresponds to in football. Like, we've talked about specific plays that once you see on the replay, you can't overturn because they're not reviewable. I guess, like, pass interference is something. If you go to replay, if you go back to check it out, you can see the pass interference, but because it's a judgment call in football, you can't use that replay to overturn the call on the field. It kind of felt a little bit like that.
Yeah, but again, based on my previous experience with calls like this, the umpire did not need replay, and it didn't matter one way or another. He was ready to call a strike. You almost saw the right arm coming up. So he should have used his own discretion, knowing that the batter had intentionally tried to get hit on a pitch right over the plate and just called him out. I don't know all the rules in football about replays, but I guess field goals are replays, right? I mean, if they're good or not good, but we talked about that. When there was a situation, I don't remember the game, Mark and I were talking about this off the air, where a field goal was obviously good, and the official right underneath called it no good. And I don't remember the game it was, do you need replay on stuff like that? Can you do that? Miss field goals? Do they do? Yeah, I'm sure they can, right?
No? I don't
understand all the replay rules in pro football. But
no, I don't think the cameras go. I think the comment at the time was, I don't think you can.
It was too high?
Yeah. Because you remember I made that whole major league reference. What do you mean too high?
Yeah, it went higher than the goalposts or something like that.
Right.
And that's how they blew the call.
Yeah. So we'll get your take about that throughout the course. It was something to watch, that's for sure. We'll have some audio on that coming up. And I'm not even a baseball guy, and I retweeted that. That's how crazy that was. All right, so it's 6:14. Let's do this because we're at Saraland today throughout the course of the day. I said that only because Kelly Finley's here already. And so what we're going to do is we're going to get you scoreboard, traffic, and weather. And then the real deal, Courtney Steele, is here to sit down with us, as she does on most Fridays. And, of course, we'll lay out the rest of the day when we come back. So we're just getting started. It's the Bishop State Spring Drive for Championships. Mark Heim, Elise Trevanian, and Air Sports One from Saraland High School right here on the sports station, WNSP and WNSP.com.
Hey, this is Stuart Fink from the PGA Tour. You're listening to WNSP Sports Radio in Mobile.
1-2 coming. And the slider in there, strike three.
Hit him on the pitch.
Hit him.
But it's in the strike zone.
Oh.
It hit was a strike, but he didn't move. So the Mets are celebrating. The Marlins are arguing. And unless this is overruled, the Mets have themselves a 3-2 win as Conforto is nicked by a pitch. Now, by rule, you have to make an effort to get out of the way.
Yep, 6:20 here on a Friday. Welcome back into the Bishop Estates Spring Drive for Championships. We're at Saraland High School, and that, of course, was the anarchy that ensued after the Mets, man. You got to love you some baseball, Lee.
Gary Cohen is the play-by-play announcer, and as you heard, he called strike three, and then they backtracked on that. He and Ron Darling and Keith Hernandez were adamant that that should not have been allowed to go. I do want to thank Patco Air Conditioning Service. Call the name you know. Call Patco. Andrus Jewelry and Bayou Fasteners among our sponsors. We are so pleased to have Courtney Steele, the Director of Marketing and Public Relations at Bishop State Community College. Good morning.
Good morning.
You having a safe trip in here?
I did.
It's a good thing it wasn't raining like it was early this morning. Wow.
It was raining in Westmobile, but by the closer I got here, it wasn't so bad. So.
Okay. Well, see, I missed the rain. Okay. You must have left earlier than I did. So, Courtney, update us on basketball. First of all, at Bishop State, we knew you were getting close to postseason. How are things going?
Yes. We played at postseason games this week, men and women. Men played on Tuesday. Unfortunately, they did lose to Shelton State, and then the women also lost to Lawson on Wednesday. However, we were glad to get to postseason, and they had a great season overall.
So the season is over with, at least at this point, right?
Yes.
How many rebounds did that young lady get?
I didn't get her rebounds this week. I text coach. I didn't get a chance to get that the numbers. I'm sure she did.
How about the baseball team?
Baseball team, they had their last game, a doubleheader at the Hank last Saturday. They lost both games. However, the pitcher, the one who had the perfect game, he has been signed with Auburn University of Montgomery.
Fantastic.
Yes.
Great, great. And we have a golf coach coming on later who once played football at Alabama State. Mm-hmm. And I believe the golf team is doing quite well right now.
They are. They're getting ready to play this weekend and a little bit later on this month. So I'm looking forward to hearing their stats and what's coming up with Ron Davis later on today.
Very good. Carver Campus. What should we know about Carver Campus?
Our Carver Campus has, each campus has different programs that we offer. And our Carver Campus has our culinary arts program, barbering and hairstyling, as well as welding.
You had me at culinary. Please expound upon that for us.
Culinary is one, I don't have any favorites. However, some programs reward you a little bit better than others. And so being able to be a judge or sample some of the creations that our culinary arts department has is always great. I'm actually going to be able to go to a luncheon they have coming up next week on Monday for a virtual high school cook-off they have. Normally we host, a beef, pork, and peanut competition on campus. But, of course, due to COVID, we weren't able to do that this year, so our chef Gabby decided, hey, I want to do something. So they're doing a virtual cook-off, which will be very interesting. She asked me to take pictures and invite me to the luncheon, so I'm sure I can find some time in my schedule to do so.
Are you also going to volunteer to have your hair cut?
I haven't
by the barber and the hairstyling?
Not by barbering. I've looked up cosmetology, but barbering may go a little bit shorter than I'm looking for. But they definitely do have some opportunities where they do get their skills in real life. And through community service, especially during the back-to-school season, they offer free haircuts to children so that they can make sure everyone has a nice fresh cut for the fresh start.
I can tell you, I have no knowledge about welding. I mean, I could barely spell the word. But according to your notes here, women make the best welders?
That's coming from the welders themselves. Women are much more attentive to detail, and because you're welding and you're using, typically in smaller areas, and it takes, straight lines, and it needs to look neat, women make the best welders. One of our lead instructors is Annette Brown, and, in all her gear, you can't tell. And then she takes her gear off, you're like, oh, that's a woman. But she's one of the most well-respected and, fun people to work with. And in case you're not sure how to do it, they do have a virtual welding. I wasn't sure about the sparks flying and everything myself, but they do have a virtual welding machine that they use when they go out to high school, so you can test your skills that way.
Ooh, so next week we need to get that thing out here and let Lee take a shot at it.
Between that and the truck driving simulator, I mean, you have a lot to try, Lee. We're gonna get you out there.
I mean, we're gonna teach this old dog a whole bunch of new tricks.
Well, you mentioned about the sparks flying. That's enough to keep me away from it. And you think I'm gonna go up and decide whether it's a male or female with those sparks flying around? I don't care who's welding. But that's kind of fascinating, though, that you can take welding courses out there.
Oh, definitely. It's one of our programs where you can do the 2-year and get a degree, or you can go for about a little over a year and get a short certificate. And ultimately, especially in this area with all the different shipbuilding companies, they're definitely always looking for
welders. So when you're a judge at this virtual high school cook-off, do you have to try everything?
Yes, you do have to try everything. I'm not going to be a judge.
How many dishes are out there?
Because of your attention to detail, right?
Exactly. My attention to detail. I have to taste everything.
So you don't eat like for 2 days just to prepare for this?
I mean, you know, you get a little sample, so you don't have to eat the whole plate. But I don't know what that means. Like, why would I take a bite of something delicious and leave it? You have to eat the whole thing. So by the end, you're stuffed. But thankfully, this time, I'm not a judge. I'm just invited to the luncheon. I'll be there taking pictures and making sure we post it to social media and that sort of thing.
Very cool. Yes. Would it be easier, do you think, if we talked about the two things maybe Bishop State doesn't offer instead of everything it does offer?
It might take a longer time to figure out what we offer there.
Okay, so as always, we need to tell folks, how can they get more information about the culinary arts, welding, the barbering, and everything else that we've talked about? Because old school, I had a catalog. Remember, you used to open up the catalog? So how do people get more information?
The best way to get information is to visit our website, www.bishop.edu. We have information about all of our programs, course descriptions, what courses you'll be taking, what order, all that sort of stuff. You can always call us at 251-405-7005. That'll be the admissions office, and they'll help you get registered, or they'll help you get admitted and help you start the process of getting registered.
Summer session's coming up. Is there still time?
Yes, there's still time to register for summer. All of the courses we mentioned today, culinary, barbering, and welding, all have summer courses, and so you can still register and get ready for that.
Always good to see you. Thanks for coming out.
Of course.
We'll see you next week?
Of course.
Yeah. Excellent. Okay. That's the real deal. Courtney Steele here at Sarah Land High School. We've been so busy today, I have not had a chance to tell you all the things that we're going to talk about or the folks that we're going to be joined by. We'll talk with Sarah Land tennis coach Chip Travis, the track coach Matt Dierman coming up next. We'll talk with the soccer coaches here at Sarah Land, as well as some baseball and softball at 7 o'clock. Jeff Kelly will be along. We did mention there's some big signing news here at Sarah Land. We mentioned that in the first hour. We'll talk to Jeff Kelly at about 7:50 about that. And, of course, we'll do our Millite Golf Report with John Ricchetti in hour number three. And once these guys get on the course, which should happen about an hourly in Augusta, we'll give you updated scores throughout the course of the day.
I do want to thank Huntington Learning Center. In college, the test optional is not an option, so call Huntington to prep for the ACT. SAT at 1-800 can learn today.
So we've been talking a lot about the Mets, and a listener has sent me some information, someone very close to the situation, that all scoring plays are reviewable in the NFL, so a field goal is reviewable. It was my understanding with the FCS, though, it couldn't review it because the ball was essentially too high and they didn't have cameras in place for that particular game to review that, which is why the officials stand right under the goal, right? But according to the MLB rule book on hit by pitch, quote, hit by pitch, calls involving whether a pitch ball may have hit a player, a piece of his clothing, or his bat, whether the ball was in the strike zone when it touched the batter, and whether the batter made any attempt to avoid being touched by the ball is not reviewable.
Doesn't matter, though, because if the guy doesn't make any effort to get out of the way, the umpire's discretion is to call him out.
Right. But like we said, like pass interference, it's a judgment call, and the official blew it.
He admitted it after the game. They had a pool reporter, and he said, yeah, my bad.
So is this kind of like flopping? And we're going to talk about this. Is this like flopping in the NBA? I mean, the guy literally put his arm out so that he would get hit.
Thing is, though, does flopping result in a loss? Like, this resulted in a loss for Miami?
It could on the last second play when you get called for a charge. Just saying.
Today's music on Sports Radio 105.5 is brought to you by 92.1 The Zoo.
Now, I've really been trying to prepare hard for this Masters, and been working at my game, been seeing a lot of improvement on the range. And my coach, Sean, said, listen, buddy, I don't know if you're close. I just know it's better.
Right.
So that's where I came into today. And obviously the start was slow, but a little bit of experience kicked in, knowing that this is a tough day out here. And being 2/7, I just knew if I could keep it around even par for the day, decent day's work.
Hey, it's 6:35. Thanks for making us part of your morning. It is the Bishop State Spring Drive for Championships. Mark, I'm Lee Trevanian in Air Sports One. We're out at Sarah Land High School.
Justin Rose, that was his voice. He conquered the course yesterday with a 65, whereas only 12 golfers were under par. And he's got like a 4-shot lead going into the second round. Justin Rose is now four times he's led after the first round, and he always seems to be around at the finish, but he has never won. And his, lately, I think he had to withdraw from an event a couple of weeks ago because of a back injury or something along those lines. So I guess it was kind of a surprise, although Mark and I did at the end of our evaluation say, you know, one of the golfers to kind of watch out for could be Justin Rose.
And he went on an absolute tear. It was like seven birdies and an eagle over 10 holes, man. That's, I mean, I'll be honest with you. I'm going to call it a career after a run like that. I'm just saying. So it was an incredible, he's got an incredible four-shot lead. So we'll continue to try to give you updates throughout the course of our show today.
Saraland tennis coach Chip Travis joins us. Good morning, Coach.
Good morning, guys.
So as we talk about Justin Rose and the tear he went on, how would that equate to a tennis player?
You know, we're about to have our sectional tournament, and then after that, there's a state tournament. So you could have a player, you know, get hot at a certain, you know, at a certain time. And
how many aces, or what he need, or like just totally no return on his first serve?
Yeah, something like that. Maybe several games in a row, a couple of breaks of serve in a row, holding serve, something like that.
When we get to meet with coaches, I find it interesting to go through their background. Were you a tennis star coming out of school, or did you just migrate to this sport late?
Almost a little bit of both. I don't know if you remember or not, Lee, but you interviewed me about 32 years ago.
Yeah, how could I have forgotten that, Chip? I'm so sorry. Where did I interview you?
I was at the University of Mobile. I think we
really?
Were. Yeah, and we were having our overall athletic banquet, and somehow they, you know, I got the overall male athlete award. And
congratulations.
And you were there with your little recorder, and
yep.
Came up afterwards. And anyhow, so that's the first time I'd ever heard of the famous Lee Sheranian.
Wow.
Famous Lee Sheranian.
32 years ago.
How different does he look today than he did 32 years ago?
He looks the same to me.
So does that mean he looks young today, or was he old 32 years ago?
Did you have your beard on then? Or?
I did not.
That's why I didn't recognize you. That's what it was.
That's it.
So you were like the student of the year?
Well, no. What they did was it was like a leadership type of award, and they still give it out. It's the Bo Freeman Christian Leadership Award, you know, given out to one of the athletes, and that was the very first one, and so. Anyways,
you know, Chip, it's the old thing about what goes around comes around, and you bring me back to memories 32 years ago. Wow, what a memory you have. How's the team looking so far? I know you mentioned we've got sectionals coming up and so forth. The team performing well?
Yeah, we have.
Are you both boys and girls?
Yeah, boys and girls, varsity and JV, do the whole thing. We're a very good team. We are in a killer area. Because of competitive balance, UMS and St. Paul's have moved up to our area. McGill has moved down, so we have three of very elite tennis programs are all in our area, so it makes it very tough. And another thing about tennis is that if you were to come out of our area, if you make the state tournament, it's like already having won two rounds in the regular playoff. Very few teams actually go to the state tournament as opposed to some of the other sports we have in Alabama high school.
What's the turnout for tennis here? Is this a very popular sport here?
Well, you know, our commitment to our program a couple of years ago, I don't know if you noticed or not when you came up, they built us six brand new courts right out there in the front of the schools, and they're lit. So what I do is I take as many as I can and see how many kind of fall in love with the sport and try to develop it from there. One unique thing about our program is that for the most part, none of them have ever really played tennis before, so we're kind of starting from. So we try to catch them as early as we can.
So you're not getting them coming up through the junior ranks or the youth ranks?
Well, we don't really have, you know, this is more of a, you know, baseball, softball, football, you know, kind of basketball type of an area. So so we try to start as early as we can, and then, but then every now and then, you know, you get a sprinkle in of a really good athlete that comes in, and so that's kind of how we do it here. And we've had a reasonable amount of success. No state title yet, but we're working on it.
Do you remember one of the questions you asked him 32 years ago? Do you, Coach, do you?
I don't remember because I was just so, like, taken back. I was like, what?
The one and only Lee Sheranian.
Was this at Far Gym or was this somewhere else?
No, it was at a hotel someplace. We had, like, a big, I forget the name of the hotel. It was down there by the mall, the whatever that one is, that big hotel that's down there by the mall. And anyhow, I remember that. I was telling my wife before I came over here, you know, and I was like 1989. How long ago was that? And she was like, the same number of years we've been married, so hopefully you can remember that. So.
Yeah. The wife will always bring up something like that,
oh,
right?
Yeah. Absolutely, absolutely.
Well, I'm glad we could make this reunion happen. So, let's do it again another 32. What do we say?
Sounds good. Nope.
Hey, I'll roll me out. We can do it again.
Chip, if that happens, I'll be over 100.
The good news is he still has that same recorder. No, I'm kidding.
I do.
He probably does.
I probably do.
That with the flip phone I hear that you have.
It's right there.
It's right there. I see
Chip,
it.
I wouldn't want to discourage it. It's right here.
I see it.
And it works.
I made it up.
It works.
Fantastic.
Hey. So what do you do during tennis matches?
Well,
what does the coach do?
All right, so we're outside the fence. That's one of the things. You know, we're not inside the court. We're outside the fence. You're looking for a changeover, noticing some trends about some things. Sometimes they're out there by themselves. You're trying to just get them in the right frame of mind, think about the right thing, maybe get them to quit thinking about something else. Something maybe you noticed that maybe they haven't noticed that you can talk about for a few seconds. And then there's like six courts going on, so I'm constantly kind of walking around.
Kind of roaming.
Yeah, get my steps in for sure on those days of those tournament days, because you're just constantly walking, roaming around.
Hey, by the way, on your way out, if you run into Matt Dierman, who was supposed to be here, tell him time out on him for not being here.
Okay.
Tardy.
We'll give him a Tio.
Yeah, Tio. Tardy.
Yeah, absolutely.
You don't get those in track, nor do you get them in tennis. What are we doing here?
How can you be running late in track?
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Maybe he is running just late. But
I ran track. I was always running late, I can assure you of that. Coach, good to catch up with you. Best of luck the rest of the way, and thanks for stopping in so early in the morning with us.
Thanks a lot.
Okay. So it's 6:42, so let's do this. We're going to continue. We'll wrap up hour number one. You guys can continue in the app at WNSP.com. Give us your thoughts on Justin Rose and his round one. We mentioned it, 7 birdies and an eagle in a 10-hole stretch. He's got a 4-shot lead going into today. We'll get you some updates when they hit the links over there in Augusta. And, of course, we've been talking a lot about the Mets and the – well, blown call there on the walk-off hit by a pitch when the batter leaned in to take it and the umpire did not call it as such. You gotta love baseball, man. All right, so we'll get to all that coming up, but we're going to wrap up hour number one next right here on the sports station, WNSP and WNSP.com.
Hey, this is Dabo Sweeney, and you're listening to WNSP 105.5.
2-1 to Mercedes. And your main tattoos this ball. Oh, where is it going to land? Bring him home.
Your main Mercedes got a slider and took it way back.
6:48, wrapping up hour number one of a 3-hour edition of the Bishop State Spring Drive for Championships. Mark Heim, Lee Shervanian, we're in Air Sports One, and we are on the campus of Sarah Land High School. By the way, if you want to check it out, go to YouTube.com, search WNSP, and you can see the video stream, see Lee Shervanian's smile and face there live and in living color.
So the White Sox are driving the Mercedes now.
Oh, I see what you did there. It's clever.
485-foot home run. I think it's the second longest in White Sox history. And this guy has been phenomenal. He's been really the talk of baseball since the first week of the season.
So you'd say he's the luxury sedan of baseball?
I'd say you're right on.
Yeah, I figured you'd like that.
He started out with 8-for-8. And the guy is not like a rookie. Well, he will be a rookie, but I'm saying he's like 28 or 29. Like, he's been around the block, never really had a chance to play, and now he's getting that opportunity because the White Sox had an injury to one of their key players. We are brought to you part by Chick-fil-A, Greer's Market, and Cash Saver, and Mobile Oral and Facial Surgery. And every Friday when we're on the road, we've got Dr. Christopher Mullenix on the line with us right now. Good news for you, Mark. I'm not going to talk about dental implants.
Hey, whatever floats your boat, man.
We are going to switch gears. Chris, good morning. Welcome to the show. How are you today?
I'm good, Lee. Good morning. And I really don't mind talking about dental implants if that's what you want to talk about.
Well, we're going to talk about wisdom teeth, and I recall, and this goes back a ways, I remember we had a listener call in, and I don't remember exactly the number, Mark. See, to me, wisdom teeth, you get four, and that's it. But this listener called in and said, I think he had six removed by you.
Six or seven, yeah, it was crazy.
So we asked you on the air, Chris, what is the most wisdom teeth you have ever removed from anybody? And if I recall, which is never a good thing, you said 10?
I did. I had a young man who had a complete double set, and on the top he had a triple set of wisdom teeth. And that was an interesting case. He did great. He was young, thank goodness. You know, wisdom teeth are their extra teeth, their non-functional teeth. They develop and try to erupt, usually in late teenage years. But as kids mature faster, we're seeing them come in 14, 13 even now. But we recommend that they come in for a consultation around 14, 15, in between, you know, 14, 15 and 20. We, however, do take out wisdom teeth in adults every day. They tend to cause a lot of problems. They're being non-functional teeth. You don't chew with them. Certainly, you can't see them. Difficult to clean, so they end up decaying. They break. They abscess. They actually damage adjacent teeth, and they cause crowding of teeth. So they're really a bad apple, and they're just best dealt with by getting them out when they're younger. Most people have four. Some people can have none, believe it or not. Some people have extra. I had one extra wisdom tooth, and that poor gentleman had 10 wisdom teeth. So they come in all shapes and sizes, all different numbers, but whatever you have, we'll be happy to help you take care of it.
Did that individual have all 10 taken out at the same time?
He did, and I actually recommended it. He was, from my memory, about 16 years old. They were going to get bigger. They were probably about half developed. That would have been very difficult, and it would have been a very traumatic procedure to have removed those fully developed. So I did recommend,
wow,
because of the timing, because of his age, because of the fact that we can put people completely to sleep, we were able to manage him really pretty easily, and he did great. So, you know, at the right facility, the right doctor, the right time, most of these procedures can be done without a lot of problems.
Christopher Mullinex with Mobile Oral and Facial Surgery, and he's got associates who do a great job over there. Chris, again, I've mentioned this several times. You do take emergencies?
Absolutely. We take emergencies. We usually can get patients in the same day and sometimes even get treatment done the same day. But we're always happy to help. We're always on call, easily reached. Two ways. Phone number 251-471-3381, and we're on the web at mobileoralsurgery.com.
Appreciate you taking time to join us.
Thanks, guys. Y'all have a great weekend.
You bet. All right, it's time to talk some soccer now out at Sarah Land. Spring sports in full gear. Greg Kozat is the girls' soccer coach, and is Cal Carney, is that who you are?
Matt Dearman.
Wait a sec. You were supposed to be on at 6:30, Matt. What's the deal?
We had some miscommunication this morning on some things, so I am here now, Lee.
And I'm supposed to be excited about this? But you step in late, and I can't even see. I can't even see through the lights and everything.
Matt, you see what I got to deal with? This is every day with him. You roll in when you get here, and all of a sudden, you've committed some sort of crime.
I mean, I was building you up, the first quarterback in the history of South Alabama.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
I interviewed you then, didn't I?
Yes, we did have an interview back then. That was a long time ago, Lee.
So do you work with the football program out here?
I do. I help with running backs, and I also help with the track program. It's an awesome place to be.
How's track doing?
We're doing really good. Have had some really good performances. Some of our girls are having a really good year. Morgan Davis, Anna Sykes, girl named Ryan Williams, Breland Jones, Trayvon McAlpine's having a good year for us throwing the shot. He's also a football player. Having an incredible track season so far.
You going to be attending any football games at Middle Tennessee?
I hope to get up there. It's definitely not as far of a trip as going out to Lawrence.
Did you go to Lawrence?
Did not. I did not. My parents did, and my dad refuses to fly. So they drove.
Yeah, I'm with him. All right, yeah. Of course, Matt's brother, Brent, good friend of ours, now coaching at Middle Tennessee after leaving Kansas. Looks like he got out at the right time.
I would say so.
He
yes,
saw
sir.
Something coming, obviously. Greg, how's the girls' soccer team doing?
They are really doing well. Such a great bunch of young ladies. you know, we've got we were blessed this year to have Delaney Cunningham, who's getting picked up by the University of Mobile, and she since she started playing for us has been just amazing. She's a really talented young lady. Came up through one of our local clubs, Mobile United. You might have heard of them, and Coach Mike Herrero. And then in her later years, she played with Gulf Coast Rangers, Coach Nick Cooper. And so she came to us with a lot of talented and a lot of skills. And she's, you know how I met her was she was in my classroom for advanced placement European history. And she's a phenomenal student and a great person. And when I heard that she played soccer, that was an easy fit. Wonderful young lady.
I know Matt's background. I've followed his career, but how about yours? Did you play soccer?
I played soccer in high school in Ralston, Nebraska, and it's funny because I coached football for a lot of years here in Mobile County.
Where?
At Grand Bay, primarily, and you know, a lot of middle school football. And I didn't think of coaching soccer till kind of late on in the career. I've been doing it for 8 years now, but this is my 27th year of teaching. And I should have, because I played soccer in high school. When I was in the Army, I picked up in any Army leagues I could get in. And it's funny. It's a real fit for me. I really enjoy it. So,
were you a goalie, forward, or?
I was a midfielder because back in my younger days when I didn't have the food belly, I could run. So
Matt also could run pretty well before that happened.
No doubt about it.
So, Greg, let me ask you this. I'm always curious about soccer. Why do most teams at the end have the United at the end of their name?
That's a really good question. I think it's all a reference back to Manchester United, because they were such a popular program and so successful, and a lot of people watch Premier League soccer. So that's pretty common. But
so what's going on with the girls' program? When's your next game, and then when are the postseason coming up?
Great question. So we just played a game last night. Now, we finished a very busy section this last week. Starting Tuesday of last week, we've played five games, which that's kind of unusual. Normally, you play two games a week max because it just tears your legs down. You know, it's such a exertion. And it's not just running for 80 minutes. It's running for 80 minutes with someone leaning on you and beating up your body. So so this last little bit that we played, this last five games, that was really the end of our season. Last night was our last game of the season. We didn't make the playoffs. We were in kind of a grinder of a division. We're in the division with McGill Tulane and St. Paul's, and of course they are traditional soccer powers. They're very strong. So we came in third in our area, but these last five games, I knew we could win them, but it's a lot to ask a team to play five games in 9 days and play at a high level, but they did. Our girls really made the push at the end here and won all five of their last five games. And last night, you could see it in their eyes. They were wiped out, Lee. They were just exhausted physically, mentally, emotionally. They were wiped out, but they did it. I was really proud of their effort.
Greg Cozart is the girls' soccer coach. Matt, when's your next track meet?
We will have our sectional track meet. Will be on It'll be on April 23rd and 24th, and that'll be our qualifier to go to state. Unfortunately, we're on spring break. I say unfortunately, it's going to be awesome.
I was going to say you must be real popular with the kids. Unfortunately,
but there's a county championship track meet next week that we're not going to be able to attend, but. So sectionals will be our next meet.
You got plans for spring break?
Absolutely. I think me and the wife are going up to North Carolina and go to the mountains for a few days.
Fantastic. Very good.
Looking forward to it.
It's good to see you.
The opening kickoff. Here are Mark and Lee.
All right, it's 7:05. Thanks for making us part of your morning. It is hour number two, the Bishop State Spring Drive for Championships. Mark Heim, Lee Trevanian from Air Sports One. We're on the campus of Sarah Land High School.
Some of the headlines, of course, the Masters are about ready to start round two. Justin Rose carrying a four-shot lead into the second round after shooting a 7-under par 65. In 1 hour, John Ricchetti will be updating us on what's going on there. In Major League Baseball, the Mets won their home opener in a very controversial manner. They won 3-2 as Mike Conforto got hit by a 1-2 pitch that was going to be called a strike, but he put his arm out in front, ball deflected off. Mets get the walk-off hit by pitch win. Plate umpire Ron Culp admitted afterwards he blew the call. He should have called him out. In SEC baseball, kind of a shocker, Georgia beat number one ranked Vanderbilt 14-2, hit seven home runs, three off Kumar Rocker, who had just given up two home runs over 158 innings in his pitching career for the Commodores. And in local baseball, it was UMS Wright winning big over St. Paul's 8-1 as Maddox Bruns struck out 16. And now we want to find out how Sierra Land's baseball team did last night. We have Brett Boutwell right here in Air Sports One. Brett, how'd it go last night?
It went well. We won a 13-2, and so that puts us at a 3-2 in the area, and we turn right back around and host McGill at 4 o'clock today.
So, how are things going with the playoffs coming up in about 2 weeks for Sarah Land?
Well, we're still fighting to get in. We need to win today, and then win two next Friday, and still need the little help from Faith. But, I mean, it's still kind of the three-team race right now. And so, you know, it'll all be decided by next Friday night.
Also in the Air Sports One is Sunny Kalb coaches the softball team. Where do things stand now with Sarah Land softball?
Right now we are 18-10, and we're 6-0 in the area. So that means that we'll host the area the first week in May. And currently we're about to go on a little bit of a break and then come back next Friday, Saturday, play at Spanish Ford in their tournament, and then finish the rest of the season.
What's been the highlight of the year so far for girls softball?
For me, it's just really just being out on the field. You know, after last season, we didn't get an opportunity to finish in the season and get championship play. And so it's just been a blessing to be on the field with these girls and just see how they're fighting to win and to play every single day.
You said you have a lot of games left to go. How did that happen?
Well, softball is a little bit different than baseball. We get 18 regular season games and seven tournaments. And so in your tournaments, you're getting anywhere from 3 to 4 games, depending on how well you do in the tournament. And so that kind of just adds up.
So when you say different, you mean better?
Absolutely better.
Brett Boutwell also sitting in with us. Brett, do you have any Matt Peacocks?
He looks shocked.
Any Matt Peacocks pitching for you these days?
We've got a couple guys that are younger guys. Last night we threw the sophomore, Bryson Goff. He's had a really good season. He's the left-hander of Forest, and I believe he's a 7 or 8-1 on the year right now. He's having a pretty good year, and you know what? Cam Warren, another freshman, will start tonight for us. So they've been really good for us this year.
What a great story. Matt Peacock out of Sarah Land High School pitched for Arizona the other night. Three innings of gave up one earned run, but he actually got up and bat and actually had a base hit. I reached him by phone. I was trying to get him on the show today. I thought it would be really neat to have him on as we're out at Sarah Land High School. You didn't coach him, though, did you?
I didn't. I was at UMS at the time, but he was always kind of a thorn in our side on the mound back then, but I was able to coach his a brother Alex here my first year, and so I've got to know their family really well, and this has been the neat experience for all of us.
Donna, we've had you on several times, as I recall, when we've come out here, and I know you've been coaching softball, but don't you have other duties around this school, too? Or
Yes, sir. I'm the girls' athletic director as well as head softball coach.
You have a lot on your plate.
Yes, sir, I do.
So this team you have out there, is this a veteran team, girls that have been in the program for quite some time?
It's a little mixture of both. We do have some older girls who've been out there. We have four seniors. We have Carly Bowden, Jamani Harris, Chloe Mosley, and Sydney Tuggle for our seniors. But we also have a handful of younger kids. We start an eighth grader and two freshmen in the infield.
Brett, did you hear about the Mets game yesterday? They beat Miami on the hit-by-pitch, bases loaded.
I heard it about on the way in here this morning.
If you were the Miami Met, if you were Don Mattingly, do you think you'd be arguing that call?
A little bit.
Have you ever seen a play like that? I mean, has that ever happened in high school?
I haven't.
I know there's been talk, like when I did South Alabama games, about players just standing in there and taking coach. I've heard that, you know, that they would just stand in there and not try to get out of the way. What about in high school? Do kids want to get hit?
Yeah, they do.
They do?
Yeah.
They do?
Yeah. They do. We had a kid a couple of years ago that they got hit about 26 times, you know, and he took a lot of pride in that. But there was a lot of times, too, that they brought him back up to the box. So.
Wow.
Yeah, that wouldn't be you, Lee, back in the day?
No.
You wouldn't take one for the team?
Nope. Would you, Brett?
Yes, absolutely.
So you coached yesterday against Tim Becker. Tim coached you at UMS. How was that? What's that like going up against your former coach?
That's just like I told Coach Becker last night. And you know, we normally don't play unless if we have to. And I've got the ton of respect for Coach Becker. He coached us his first year that we won a state championship, my junior year, the 1997. And, you know, we've always just had a special relationship with each other, and I'd rather just keep that instead of competing against him. But you know, we have to right now.
When you pitched for UMS Wright, and I'm going back on memory, I know there was a lot of publicity about you coming out of there. I'm wondering, is it pretty much the same with Maddox Bruns, who's now pitching at UMS Wright?
No, he's got a lot more publicity than I do, but
well, I heard a
rightfully
lot of
so. Rightfully so.
But you were a Division I prospect, too.
Yes, but not at his level. We got a chance to face him earlier in the year, and he's the real special talent.
Donna, do you have any young ladies on your team that are going to keep playing softball at the next level?
I do. I have three of our four seniors have signed to play. I have one at going to the University of Mobile, two going to Bishop, and then the fourth senior is joining the Air Force. So we have a lot of prospects on the team.
Air Force Academy or just joining the Air Force?
Just the Air Force. She's will report to boot camp in August.
Good.
Wow. So tell folks, you know, everybody hears the word athletic director, but I'm not sure many folks know what that entails on a day-to-day basis. So what is your spring like, and is it different than the fall, you know, when you combine your coaching duties with those jobs?
It slows down a little bit once January gets past and eligibility is completed and things like that. Other than that, it's, you know, just trying to help coaches, head coaches do manage their teams and things like that, and just really just being there for our coaching staff.
You played softball where?
University of West Alabama.
All right. And, Brett, of course, you went to where? You went to West Alabama, too, didn't you?
Yes, sir, I did.
Did you know each other?
Yes, we did, but she denies it.
That's not true.
We need, like, three more segments now.
This is for you, Mark.
I set it up for you. Were we in the same classes? Did we mingle with the same people?
She was older than I was.
Obviously. Well, by rule, she probably still is.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Just checking.
Yes, absolutely. she was the really good player up there, and I know who she was. And then after I got through playing, I was a graduate assistant there for a couple of years. And so,
did you know who he was? Or he was just one of these little freshman peons?
Or did you even care, Don?
Of course I cared. Yes, I know who Coach Powell was.
Hey, can we get, by the way, since I'm talking to an administrator here, can this state get rid of the 50% rule, please? Can we do something about that?
Well, we can certainly try.
That's no insight into maybe getting rid of this coming up? Nothing?
I don't think that's going to be my decision.
Would you like it to be a
Yeah, it would definitely help us out.
In all seriousness, we're the only state in this area with this rule, right? Mm-hmm. What's the point of the rule? Is it just so schools don't get some sort of unfair advantage by taking their teams into the off season when maybe other other programs don't have those means?
I would guess that would be a reason why.
Okay. That's just my little rant.
Who you got pitching today, Brett?
Cam Warren will start for us in game one today, and then if we need to play the game three, it'll be a toss-up.
You're on spring break next week, right?
Yes, sir.
Everybody going away?
I'm not really sure. I told the girls that they did need to take a little break from softball so that we can come back and hopefully finish strong.
One of the reasons we're here today, you're about the only school that's not on spring break this week. I was running out of schools. We couldn't find one. This is one of two that is not on spring break that I'm aware of. Thank you for coming by.
Well, thank you for having us.
Did you guys go to the same parties or
hang out together?
No.
Nope.
We were all focused on our
sports. No partying. It was all
at West Alabama. No parties. No.
If I asked that same question about an hour when all the kids were in school and not listening, would that be a different answer?
We'll talk later.
Okay, there we go. I like where your head's at on that one. Hey, guys, thank you all so much for joining us. Always a pleasure. Let's do a scoreboard, traffic, and weather. We continue here at the Bishop State Spring Driver Championships.
What if I asked both of you to sing the fight song for West Alabama? Could you do it?
She could.
No, he's way better at it. He has the voice to sing the song.
We probably need to be the judges of that.
Go ahead, Coach Powell.
Next segment, we will.
Look, that's a tease, Lee.
Right,
that's what that is.
Around.
Yeah, stick around.
After Alec Naaman, you can come on.
And conveniently, I'm sure we'll have technical difficulties with Mike 3. All right, stay with us right here on the sports station, WNSP.
This is Jim Nagy, the executive director of the Senior Bowl. You're listening to WNSP 105.5.
There have been 22 aces in the history of Augusta. This is Tommy Fleetwood. Please make it 23.
Hey, it's 7:23. Welcome back in. Thanks for making us part of your morning. The Bishop State Spring Driver Championships continues from the campus of Saraland High School.
That was Vern Lundquist, wasn't it?
Indeed it was.
How about that? He's back. Vern Lundquist, one of our favorites, is calling the 16th hole at the Masters in Fleetwood with a hole in the
I'm just waiting for him to say, who the hell is Happy Gilmore?
Say it. Remember that interview we did with him? We did ask him about Happy Gilmore.
I did.
Stephen Root doing a great job getting audio. Fantastic. Now, speaking about audio, Alec Naaman, the real Alec Naaman with Naaman's Catering. Alec, we're out at Saraland High School talking to you. What you have going this weekend?
Yeah. Man, y'all out there, that's great. The rain going on. I might cook indoors most of the time. You know, it's been great. We're feeling the spring season coming on us here. We're doing a lot of corporate lunch, corporate breakfasts delivered to the office. So we have that little menu up on our website at namescatering.com. We got a new little menu out called Date Night. It's where you get rid of the kids and you order up dinner from us. We have the filet mignon. We've got a chicken cordon bleu, that kind of stuff. You pick it up, you go home, you have a date night, watch some TV, that kind of stuff. And of course, we specialize in weddings and after rehearsal parties and that kind of stuff. So call us at 473-3900. Look us up on the web at namescatering.com. Give us a like on Facebook. We always got some good stuff up there. And I don't play baseball again. I'll spank it you next weekend, but I'll give you a go, Jack. And they say, well, y'all have a great weekend, guys.
A little long for him to take a trip out to Little Rock where the Jags are.
Thank you, Alec. Certainly appreciate everything you do. That's Alec Naaman. All right. So they ought to be hitting the course here in just a few minutes. I'm going to start getting you guys some updates here on the Masters Round 2. If you guys want to jump in on the first round, you certainly can. It was an unbelievable just run there for Justin Rose. 7 birdies and an eagle in a 10-hole stretch. You know, I'd have to go back and look some of the more impressive runs through a round, but that's got to be right up there, man. That's incredible.
Now the question is, can he hang on? 4 times he's led the Masters after day one. He has never won the Masters. He always seems to be around, though. And when we talked about yesterday, when we started divvying up who our golfers would be, I had Justin in the back of my mind. I didn't pick him among my top 3, but we actually had a listener call in. And at that time I said, Got to keep Justin Rose somehow in the mix. For whatever reason, he always seems to have good game, good matches at the Masters. And yesterday, he conquered a course that just about took care of everybody else. There was only 12 that broke par, and he had the best score. And he's got a four-shot lead, which is quite a lead going into the second
round. But my dark horse, he's within striking distance, Lee Shervanian. Hideki Matsuyama, how about that? Yeah. With the 69. It's almost like I knew what I was talking about.
Well, that would be odd. But you didn't bring up about Bryson DeChambeau. I wonder if he's
pacing
make the cut.
He's pacing himself.
Well, let me ask you this. Do you think he's five over? Do you think he'll make the cut?
Not at this rate.
I mean, Mark, there were many out there who said he was going to be the one.
Including me.
Well, he was one of your three. But you weren't as adamant as some of the others out there, the talking heads who really study the game of golf because of the way the prodigious drives he has, and he just couldn't keep the shot in the fairway.
Yeah,
he had a terrible round, and the names like Thomas and Johnson and so forth, it's not like they're out of it. I mean, you know, two over, three over, whatever, but still, you know, they had the elements, the wind and the fast greens, but there's old Justin Rose coming back.
What are the chances that anybody hits a spectator, and oh yeah, that spectator be your dad. Like, what? Like, give me a lottery ticket. There's got to be better odds of winning the lottery than doing that, right?
I would agree with you. Yeah, that is a shot that's going to be heard around the golfing world, where Rory McIlroy's shot hit a spectator, and get this, not only did it hit him, but I think it saved him because it deflected back toward the green, and it was his father.
Yeah.
You think his father stuck his foot out?
No.
Stuck his foot out? No.
He's not a Met. By the way, it looks like the projected cut right now going into the round is somewhere about two over or better.
Ouch.
Or better. And obviously that could change a little bit, but that's what it's looking like.
Yeah, Bryson DeChambeau. And there's a lot of people that want to watch him on the weekend. He was five over, and I think the worst was like seven over, and we talked about Sandy Lyle yesterday, but he's like in his 60s now.
Yeah. All right, so when we come back, we'll continue from Saraland High School. Jeff Kelly's going to be joining us here at the end of our hour number two. We'll get a master's report from John Ricchetti in hour number three, and continue with your comments in the app at WNSP.com. I'm Mark Heim. Lee Shervanian's in Air Sports One with me. We're on the campus of Saraland High School. It is the Bishop State Spring Drive for Championships. We're presented by Mobile Oral and Facial Surgery. Stay with us right here on the sports station, WNSP and WNSP.com.
Today's music on Sports Radio 105.5 is brought to you by 92.1 The Zoo.
Arenado, a drive, deep left, at the wall. Welcome to St. Louis, Nolan. An opening day home run, Nolan Arenado.
Hey, it's 7:34 on this Friday edition. Mark Heim, Lee Shervanian out in Air Sports One on the campus of Saraland High School for the Bishop State Spring Drive for Championships.
Nolan Arenado, who was traded by Colorado to St. Louis, got a standing O his first time up and then belts a two-run home run in the eighth inning, and that's the difference in the Cardinals' win. I do want to thank some of the sponsors that have come along for our Spring Drive Championships at Saraland High School. How about Patco Air Conditioning Service? Call the name you know. Call Patco. Andrew's Jewelry, Bayou Fasteners, and Huntington Learning Center to go along with Greer's Marketing Cash Saver and Chick-fil-A. Welcome to the we're in the principal's office right now, or he's in our office.
Yeah, how many times does the principal come to your office,
right,
Lee?
Exactly.
How about that?
Brett Harrison, got to meet him in the fall. How you doing?
Yes, sir. Doing great. How about y'all?
You're so happy we got through the COVID-19. Just about everything went well?
Yes, sir. We couldn't have asked for a better fall and better students to do what we asked of them, and we've made it through this year remarkably, pretty much unscathed. So
So sports-wise, we got some new facilities going up. Bring us up to date on that.
Yes, sir. We just our board approved a brand new track facility, which will be placed just behind us on the athletic facility. And so we'll have rubberized track, everything nice. You can ask for, and our students will be able to compete here on campus, train here on campus, and hopefully continue to do what they do in the track meets.
Let me ask you this: we were out at Baker last Friday, and the subject of your field house came up.
Yes, sir.
Do you have a lot of inquiries as to how to go about getting a field house this terrific?
Lately, in probably the last 4 or 5 months, we've had multiple school districts around the southeast come and kind of tour our facilities to see, you know, what ours look like, how it looks, and the functionality of it. And so we're very fortunate. We have got a very supportive Board of Education, supportive superintendent, and we always strive to do and make possible the best for our students. So,
were you in there working out before this?
Obviously, if you look at me, you know I was not. I have not hit a weight room in a long time. But hopefully when I have a little time, I will be able to go in there and work out.
Okay, sports down the road. You mentioned wrestling. What does that entail?
So we are looking and have hired a teacher for next year that will be our wrestling coach. And so we will begin the process here this spring of getting everything formalized and finalized from buying equipment and everything like that. And once school starts back in the fall, we'll have interest meetings with those interested in wrestling and field a team this fall. So we're very excited about that.
So when you say new equipment and everything, mm-hmm. How much equipment do you need for wrestling?
Well, you've got to buy mats. Obviously, the mat's the biggest thing. From what the players or wrestlers need, usually just a singlet or an ear guard, that type of thing. So it's really, wrestling is not a very expensive sport. Then a mat that is a little costly, but it's a one-time purchase.
I mean, don't you see a lot of that going on in the cafeteria, a lot of wrestling?
Well, that's what we try to discourage is that in the cafeteria. If it's after school with somebody making sure they do it right, we like it.
That's good.
If you want, if you need a mat, please take ours.
Do you have you seen where there's interest in wrestling?
Oh, yes, sir. And I know around the area with Baldwin County, Mobile County, we've got more and more programs starting up or have been started. So we actually were coming into it at a very good time as far as being able to compete in our area, not having to travel a long way away to wrestle other schools. So we are, I think, hitting it at the right time, and I think we'll have a lot of students interested in participating.
Brent Harrison is the principal here at Fairland. So here's, when I went to high school, wrestling usually came after football, mm-hmm. and usually had football players gravitate mm-hmm. to wrestling, but you said it's going to be a fall sport?
Yes, sir. So it does start about the second week, so around playoff time. You do see a good bit of football players that do participate in wrestling. It's kind of a unique blend. Those students that are not participating, whether it be baseball or basketball, that's the ones that typically will come out and wrestle.
Is there still... And I go back to my days, like, if you get called to the principal, is it still a scary moment? I mean, is it still like that?
Well, hopefully.
The fear of God and, hey, I want to see you in the office.
If we have to, we will. A lot of the conversations we have with students are very positive. And over the last several weeks, we've been calling students up, talking about their ACT scores, talking about their college plans, and talking about what it is that their future, they have in store for their future. So a lot of the talks we have with our kids are very positive. There are some that are negative, but as long as they learn from it and never come back, it's a good job.
Did you ever get called to the principal's office as a student?
I'm going to plead the fifth on that one. I'd rather not say.
So, when we come out here, we talk about how this area continues to thrive and grow. So where is enrollment now, and are you still growing in that capacity, and where do you kind of cap that?
We are. Enrollment right now, even with the COVID year, and a lot of school systems had a drop in student enrollment. We're around 1,100 students. And so we, you know, from looking at where we are right now in our younger grades, our enrollment is pretty steady. Obviously, you know, as more houses are being built in Sarah Land, which right now there's a lot going up, we do expect that enrollment to go up and continue to go up.
Anything you want to talk, since we're here for spring sports, anything that's caught your attention in spring sports this spring?
Just resiliency with all of our competitors, our soccer teams. I know our girls finished up last home game last night and had a very good season, young team, so we're very excited about what they have coming forward in the future. And obviously as our boys soccer finish up with what they can do as well. And, of course, you know, baseball last night, huge victory of McGill-Tulane, and we'll be hosting the area tournament for softball. And so a lot of things going on, a lot of positives for the Spartans, and hopefully all of our teams will be able to make a run as the year progresses.
Your football coach still on safe grounds here?
He is. As long as he continues to do what he does, he's doing a great job, and couldn't ask for a better head coach.
Appreciate you coming out here before the start of the day. And
anytime.
Enjoy y'all spring break. So apparently you guys are off all next week. So
that's right. So today is our last day before spring break. So if you walk the halls right now, the high school is probably like a ghost town, but that's to be expected.
Brent, thank you very much for not having your spring break this week.
You are very welcome.
Otherwise, we would have been back at our own studio.
That's right.
So right here. You're about the only school that did not have spring break this week.
Yes, sir. No, very well. Very glad. Glad to have it. Very glad to have you all, and love to have you all anytime.
We'll see you in the fall then.
Yes, sir. Thank y'all.
Absolutely.
Y'all.
All right. So what we'll do is we'll wrap up hour number two when we come back. We'll see if we can. I'm sure there's some folks just getting on the course over at Augusta, so we'll see if we can start updating some of those round two scores at the Masters when we come back. Also, Jeff Kelly, the football coach. Now, these guys, let's see if the consecutive streak continues. Every week we seem to think that these coaches are a lot more relaxed when we come around in the spring than they are the Friday of a game. We'll see if Jeff fits the bill when we come back. Right here on the sports station, WNSP and WNSP.com.
Hi, this is ESPN founder Bill Rasmussen, and you're listening to WNSP Mobile.
Joining Lee and Gary is a man who is celebrating the 35th anniversary of his historic sixth green jacket. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Jack Nicklaus.
All right.
The 2021 Masters is now officially underway. Enjoy the tournament, everyone.
All right, 7:46, wrapping up hour number two of our Bishop State Spring Drive for Championships. Mark Heim, Lee Trevaney, and Air Sports One from the campus of Saraland High School.
All right, we are now joined by the head football coach, athletic director, Mr. Jeff Kelly. Hello.
Hey, Lee, how are you guys doing? Mark, good morning.
Good, it's good to see you.
Hey, good to be here.
So Mark brought up a really good point. I've certainly noticed that when we get a football coach on in the spring, they're a lot more relaxed than they are during the fall.
I don't know why that would be, Lee.
You don't think that?
You know?
See, last time we talked to you, you had Theodore on your mind.
Without a doubt. And our coach is out. You know, our guys give me a hard time. It is a, because I think you are right. I mean, we have a lot of things going on in the spring. We're, you know, whether it's weight room training, getting ready for spring training, AD duties, that kind of stuff. But it is different. You know what I mean?
We were talking to Steve Norman last week. I would think there are not just Steve. There are a lot of coaches who are envious of this building here.
We are very blessed. We are very blessed, without a doubt. Our administration, school board, you know, Dr. Milner, our superintendent, our school board's been great. Our community's been great. You know, and all the new things that's kind of been coming up the last 4 or 5 years is a direct, you know, kind of commitment from our community of, of our school system and believing in, you know, what we do. We have, you know, several construction projects going on, academic, you know, buildings that are being expanded and that kind of stuff. But we are really excited. We've been in, you know, our new facility for 2 years, and we bring probably 350, 400 students through here every day, you know, that are training with Coach Herschel, our strength coach. And it's been an absolute huge addition for both, you know, our ladies' sports, our guys' sports. It's been really good.
Herschel was a little concerned that he was left off the docket today.
I got to keep him working hard. Yeah,
I understand that.
If I get him in here, he'll be in here for an hour, you know, talking about power cleans and, you know, bench press and those kind of things. He's got to be up there training our kids.
Jeff, before we get to spring football, an overview of the spring sports to date. Your thinking, thoughts on that and how the teams are doing.
Yeah, you know, we're right in the middle of it. You know, our baseball, I know you talked to Coach Bowell. You know, they had a good win last night. This is a big series for both McGill and us. You know, there's still, you know, some things that's got to, you know, both teams got to play next week and that kind of stuff. But, you know, it's kind of a huge series for both schools to kind of see kind of maybe who's in the driver's seat going into the final week. You know, softball, Coach Sonny Cav, those girls have been doing great. They're playing a lot of, you know, younger players, but they've really played at a high level this year and getting better. You know, soccer, we finished strong there. You know,
yeah, like five wins in like 3 days or something crazy.
You know, and our girls and our guys, they both had good years, yeah. But they played a tough area, and you know, but definitely getting better there. And our tennis team has, you know, been rocking and rolling. Coach Travis has been here a while, so it's a busy time of the year, a good time of the year. But we're getting into playoff season with our spring sports and. You know, hopefully we can get on a run and make a little noise.
When does spring football start up?
So we got spring break, and then we'll have a week after spring break. We'll do some conditioning work and that kind of stuff. We're going to start April the 26th, you know, that Monday. We'll go, you know, basically for 3 weeks, you know, 2 or 3 days a week there, and we'll finish with a scrimmage with Coach Carter and those guys over at Fairhope.
Well done. Jarrell Williams, what can you tell us about him? He was in the news the other day.
He committed yesterday. Outstanding player. You know, he's been a good player for us for a long time. Yesterday was a big day for him. You know, had all that going on, but just a little quick story. So he commits about noon, puts it out there, whatever. School gets out at 2:30. He's knocking on my door, you know, wanting to borrow football so he can go out there and do some drill work on his own or whatever. Just a great reflection of, you know, the kind of worker he is. And as good a player as he is, he's one of the best just young men that I've coached, you know, in all my years. I mean, he's not only a really talented player, but he's, you know, an outstanding teammate, great locker room guy. But he'll compete. He's going into a good place. I'm really excited for him.
We should mention he's going to West Virginia, right?
Going to West Virginia.
Okay, should get that on record.
So I'm curious. You've been coaching now for a while, and we've talked about your playing days. I got to believe that seeing that happen with one of your student athletes is probably one of the more rewarding aspects of your job. Is it? And if it is, does it surprise you maybe when you first started that part of it was so rewarding?
The recruiting part?
Get that opportunity and see those guys mature through your program. And
you know, to your point, not only was he wanting to go out and get some work, but there was an eighth-grade kid with him that he wanted to kind of work with.
Yeah.
And so as a coach, you know, it doesn't matter how talented they are. There's going to come a day when they got to hang their cleats up. But if somewhere in the fray, you can – help a guy become a better guy or a better young man, and you know that's what makes coaching really fun. And we've got a bunch of great kids here. Jarrell's a great kid. We got a bunch of other kids too that are just outstanding, you know, guys. It makes it fun to go to work. You know, we all put in long hours. We do. You know, there's a ton of sacrifices in there and that kind of stuff. But when you have good kids and you see them, you know, grow up and you know, when they roll in here as an eighth grader, you know, and then to see them walk out the door as a senior, there's so much changing and, you know, maturing and those kind of things that go on. And, yeah, I don't know if there's any better part of coaching.
Yeah.
You know, that's as good as it gets.
I'm going on memory of somebody very close to you. I hope I'm in the same lane. Will you be coaching your son in football down the road?
He is an eighth grader coming up into ninth grade, and so he's getting on the bus every day over to middle school. They're riding over. They're going through workouts, and he plays tennis for Coach Travis too. And so it's so funny. I you know, I'm always down here when they get off the bus and come running down the hill, getting ready for workouts, and
You know, I'm dapping him up or high-fiving him coming through, and he acts like he doesn't know me. You know,
I'm not surprised. That I was going to ask you about that. Did he want to avoid you, or like, hey, that's my dad?
No, it's like I'm not even in the building. You know, it's like, and so
is he a budding quarterback?
You know, he's more of a receiver kind of kid and that kind of stuff. He, you know, I don't ever know what the future will hold and that kind of stuff. But you know, he'll spend more of his time probably outside doing some other things other than quarterback. So, but you're right. It's going to be an interesting, and the talk's on the ride home.
You know what's going to be neat?
You know what? The other day, I'm sort of getting after him, and he's like, "Dad, why'd you say that?"
Yeah. I'm like, "Hey, Jeff, you know what's going to be neat?"
I said, "You better get used to it."
Senior day, you and your wife are walking him.
Oh, don't talk about that, Lee.
And remember, if you do it, start early this year.
Yeah, so without a doubt.
So we mentioned Jarrell, and he is verbally committed to West Virginia. Who were some of the Sarah Land? I mean, I can't tell you how excited I was to reach Matt Peacock this week. I talked to him. But some of the football players you've coached who we may be seeing this fall on campuses.
Gracious.
Is Jones still at Tennessee?
Valus is going into his senior year at Tennessee. He had a big second half of the year. He's going to be ready to go up there. Valus is there. You know, Jack is competing for the starting job out of Stanford. You know, he's doing an outstanding job. We had, 10 student-athletes, you know, signed with various colleges last year. You know, we've got, you know, Nezats at West Florida. You know, we've got a lot of kids coming up and that kind of stuff. And we've got probably, you know, five or six kids right now that are in our senior class to be next year that's getting opportunities and offers and, you know, so we're excited about those kids. You know, Jarrell's a good one, but we also got five or six others that are getting some Division I interest and that kind of stuff.
Just a couple more minutes here with Jeff Kelly from the campus of Sarah Land High School. Correct me if I'm wrong. Lee usually does. Did the High School Athletic Association just have some meetings here in the last few days or last week, or did I make that up?
So there was a principal and athletic director's meeting on Tuesday.
There you go.
In Montgomery. And, you know, so that was...
I know girls flag football is now a new sport.
Right.
Is there any other news that impacts what you guys do from a football?
Well, we're ahead of the game here at Sarah Land now. You know, they announced girls flag football Wednesday. We have the Powder Puff Championship right here at school with all of our, you know, so, you know, no, that's a big one. I don't know how that'll affect us and everybody else, but it's going to give opportunities for, you know, ladies to get out and play and do those kind of things. That's cool. That is an outstanding thing. You know, April the 20th or 22nd, something like that, there's a central board meeting with the HSA where there's been a lot of proposals and a lot of things that's kind of been on the docket that everybody's been voting on, and the central board will actually vote on proposals and maybe changes to rules or guidelines and that kind of stuff as it pertains to sports. So that's in a couple weeks. That'll be a big day, you know, so we'll see how all that plays out.
The opening kickoff. Here are Mark and Lee.
It's 8:05. Welcome in on this Friday edition. The opening kickoff, the Bishop State Spring Drive for Championships continues in Air Sports One. You try saying that. It's Sarah Land High School.
Presented by Mobile Oral and Facial Surgery. Certainly presented also by Chick-fil-A and Greer's Market and Cash Saver. Top story, let's find out right now. Let's get to John Ricchetti, the Miller Lite Golf Report, and bring us up to date on round two of the Masters. Johnny, good morning.
Good morning, guys. Yeah, they're underway today, and I understand that, you know, from a very extremely difficult golf course yesterday, Augusta National, probably the toughest I've seen that golf course play in a long, long time. I think they, and the greens seemed like they were getting baked out. You're rare that you see the greens at Augusta National with a lot of brown patches, but it was extremely difficult. That's where you only seen three players break 70, and obviously our first-round leader, Justin Rose, who's getting ready to tee off here in about 35 minutes, but two over par, guys, through seven holes. He played the next 11 holes in 9 under par, which included an eagle birdie finish on the front nine and a sizzling 6 under par 30 on the back nine. And Justin Rose is your leader by 4 shots. As I mentioned, only three players in the 60s. A lot of name players, big name players. 74. McIlroy's struggled worst opening round in Masters. His performance just 4 over par, 76. My pick, Bryson DeChambeau. I thought he would have had it figured out. 4 over par, 76. Dustin Johnson, defending champion, opened up with a 74, which included a costly double bogey at the 18th hole. But credit to due, you got to look at Jordan Spieth coming off the win last week. Suffered a triple bogey at the 9th hole, came back for a 1 under par round. Justin Thomas hanging in there at 1 over par. So this tournament is a long, long way from being over, and I just think that we'll get a lot better feel today after the round is completed. And from what I understand, they might have put the water on the green today, so they might not be as baked out and as firm as they played yesterday. So we'll have to wait and see how this all pans out. But I think it's going to be a very interesting Masters come Sunday afternoon, guys.
So let me ask you this. You already answered part of the question. Are the conditions going to be more conducive to the golfers today? Now, you mentioned about the greens, but, of course, the wind was a factor yesterday also.
Yeah, it is, but I think it is. I think, but the most part, I think, I've been privileged to play that golf course twice, and I tell you, the number one thing is the greens, Lee, and I know wind plays havoc, but if the greens are rolling firm and fast, that is the number one defense of that golf course. So we'll wait and see. But from what I understand from this morning, seeing a little bit of video from player as play has just started, it looks like I seen a ball mark at the first hole. So yesterday, players weren't really fixing ball marks to tell you how difficult and how firm those greens were. But it looks like they were fixing a ball mark at the first hole. So maybe they put some water on them, and we might see some lower scores today. But only three players to break 70 is an indication how extremely difficult that golf course played yesterday.
All right, let me ask you this. Why do we never hear the name Justin Rose going in from the so-called golfing experts talking? I never see anything about him yet. This is the fourth time he's led after the first round. He's never won it, but he always seems to be around at the end, at least in competition. Do you expect him to be there on Sunday?
Well, I'm going to say no, just for the reason, because I'm a believer that you got trends in golf. I mean, yeah, the Cinderella stories happen once in a while, but you got a trend in the right direction. So if you break it back to Jordan Spieth, he was trending, hanging around, even though he couldn't get the W, and eventually he got the W. And I just think Justin Rose had a month off. He's coming back from a back injury, and I think this round was kind of like out of left field. I don't think he's going to win it. No, he might be in the equation come Sunday. But I do not think he's going to win this tournament, but the guy's a great player. He won major championship. I mean, obviously he's at one time was the number one player in the world. Mother Nature's taking a toll on him. He's getting older and so forth. So we'll wait and see, but I do not think he'll win the Masters come Sunday late afternoon.
Johnny, we appreciate it and looking forward to having you back with us on Monday morning.
All right, you guys have a great weekend and should be a great Masters.
You know, Mark, the score that really shocked me in a sense. This morning I remembered that Vanderbilt was playing Georgia in baseball. Now, Vanderbilt may have the number one and number two picks in the upcoming baseball draft around the All-Star break. Leiter and Rocker. That's all the talk is in baseball, those two pitchers for Vanderbilt. They got the best pitching staff in the nation. They're number one in the nation. And Georgia yesterday, when I saw this, I had to do a double take and wonder if it was, the same year. Georgia hit 7 home runs off Vanderbilt's pitching staff yesterday and won 14-2. Kumar Rocker, and you know his dad, John Rocker, he gave up 3 home runs, 3 of the 7. In the previous 158 innings, Rocker had allowed just 2 home runs. An incredible game last night for Georgia, the first of a 3-game series, and they won it 14-2.
All right, you guys can jump in at 694-1055. I have another walk down memory lane for you. I saw this earlier today. So on April 9th of 1974, I was not yet born. The Astros and Padres got together. It was the Padres' home opener. Do you remember? Do you know where I'm going here?
Nope.
So the owner at the time, Ray Kroc, the founder of McDonald's. Is it ringing bells yet? Are we getting there? So anyway, he's 4 days in to his stint as owner, right?
Yep.
And they lost to Houston 9-5. And so he went and grabbed the mic for the PA. 72-year-old man blared over the PA system. Ladies and gentlemen, I suffer with you. And that's not even the best part. So a streaker goes running out during the course of his words. He yells, "Get that streaker off the field, throw him in jail." And then he continues, "I have good news and bad news." Now keep in mind, the man is 4 days into being the owner, and it's opening day, right? The good news is that the Dodgers drew 31,000 for their opener, and we've drawn 39,000 for ours. The bad news is that this is the most stupid baseball playing I've ever seen. And then the crowd went nuts, which I'm sure did not sit well with the players. But could you imagine an owner doing that today?
I do remember that, Mark, now that you bring it up. And it was not one of the finer moments in the history of baseball or the Padres. And I know most people criticized and roasted Kroc for what he did, an owner to get out there. If you want to communicate, go in the clubhouse, and if you want to berate them, but not publicly like that. Owners just don't do stuff like that. And you're right, it's rare. Now, it may have been done elsewhere too, but owners usually stay away from that. You know, that's why you have a manager. That's why you have a general manager. They're the ones that are supposed to do that. Yeah, I do remember that hamburger gene, and he was a genius when it came to hamburgers, but boy, and owning the team, that did not go over well.
So prior to the game, he said to the crowd, "With your help and God's help, we'll give them hell tonight." And so Willie McCovey told reporters after the game, because he was with San Diego, "I wish Mr. Kroc hadn't done that. I've never heard anything like that in my 19 years in baseball. None of us like being called stupid. We're pros and we're doing the best we can. His words will ring in the players' ears for a long time."
At least we didn't have to hear the Mets owner get on the microphone in his first home game yesterday.
I wish we'd see more of this.
You do?
How great would that be? How much fun would that be? I just saw that. I just couldn't believe. The only reason I say that now is because
Mark,
there'd be a revolt in the locker room,
Mark,
right? They wouldn't come out for the game if your owner came out and said and made those remarks.
I don't know if you ever really listen to me when I talk about this, but the contentiousness between the players' union and the owners today, I don't think that would go over very well. I mean, no sport has the, let's say, animosity that baseball does between the Players Association and the owners. Can you imagine if owners were doing stuff like this, how bad it would be? It's already bad, but I mean, how much worse it would be?
These guys wouldn't come out the locker room. They wouldn't play. They just today, in today's world, if an owner came out and said that, whether it was to one reporter and it got thrown out on social media, or even better yet, if he had gone out on the field with the PA like this guy did,
it'd
be a riot.
It's nice to hear you mention Willie McCovey's name, though, of course, the Mobile native, who's in the Hall of Fame and, you know, passed away. But with Willie, though, I know there's always, like, you know, we talk about Hank Aaron and Satchel Paige and Millie Williams. But for whatever reason, when Willie left Mobile, he may have come back, but if he did, nobody really knew about it. I don't know what there was, but Willie McCovey, of course, was more well-known out on the West Coast than he was, you know, in the greater Mobile area.
All right, so it's 8:15. Let's get you a scoreboard, traffic, and weather. And we'll get back to this. Someone had mentioned if we had talked about it. Yeah, we talked about it earlier, the Mets game yesterday. Was it Michael Conforto?
Yeah, we made the call coming up again. I told Steven to repeat it.
I guess unofficial poll question in the app. Good move by Conforto? I mean, you got to give the guy credit, right? I mean, you may not like, I know I didn't like the way it ended, but dude did what he had to do to win. He just leaned in a little bit, so where do you guys stand on that? We'll get your phone calls coming up. We continue from Sarah Land High School. It's the Bishop State Spring Drive for Championships right here on the sports station, WNSP and WNSP.com.
Hi, I'm Joe Godfrey. I'm a big fan of 105.5 WNSP Sports.
1-2 coming. And the slider in there, strike three.
A strike, but he didn't move, so the Mets are celebrating, the Marlins are arguing, and unless this is overruled, the Mets have themselves a 3-2 win as Conforto is nicked by a pitch. Now, by rule, you have to make an effort to get out of the way.
You know, 823.
You know, Mark, when I was a lifelong Mets fan in New York or in New Jersey, and I would have been celebrating that. I would have been, wow, great, because the Mets didn't win many games when I followed them. But now, after all these years, that is just so unfair what happened to the Marlins. I mean, well, and what can you say? The umpire admitted he blew it.
Yep. And it's rare, although, we talk about where officials become part of the game in basketball and football so often, it's rare that we talk about it in baseball, which made it so magnificent yesterday, man. You got to love baseball. You don't have to, but yesterday I did.
You know, it's rare when we got a big-time football player joining us. But he's a golf coach now. Ron Davis, Bishop State, joining us in Air Sports One. Ron, it's a pleasure to see you. How you doing? Okay, well, let's get you.
There we go.
All right, there we go. Say it again. How are you doing?
I'm doing great.
That's great. You look good. For a guy that's played a lot of football, you're moving around pretty good.
Willie Woods told me I was blessed that I walked away from the game.
Is that right? Well, we can get into that a little later on.
Yeah.
Masters going on now. Do you have a dog in the hunt? Anybody you're rooting for? Or anybody?
Well, of course, Tiger is not there. And I think Justin Thomas is going to have a fantastic tournament, I believe.
Do you follow the Masters? Do you care?
Yeah, I watch the Masters every year. Really, really enjoy it. It's an intriguing tournament because you never know. They could be playing well one day, and then the next day is a whole nother ball game.
So tell us what's going on with Bishop State Golf.
Well, we're getting ready to start regions play. Actually, this week we'll leave Sunday. We're playing Montgomery at Lagoon Park. From there, we'll then play the district tournament, which is also in Montgomery at Opelika at Arrowhead. And from there, hopefully, if the team gels, we may be able to make it to the Nationals, which is in Texas.
What have you done to, let's say, amp up interest in golf, especially at Bishop State and maybe even with youngsters coming through?
Well, Lee, like I said, I've known you for a long time, last stadium years when I served on the board. Old friend of ours, Wayne Rowe, came to me and asked me to teach some kids at Williamson how to play golf. They wanted to start a golf team. Well, my assumption is that they were going to do it the next year or whatever. Well, they wanted to start the team 2 weeks later.
That sounds right with Wayne.
And so I explained to Wayne, I said, you don't want to do that to those kids. You know, I said, they may have the interest starting out, but after that, when they're not performing against kids that's been playing the game since they were 4 years old, it's going to be embarrassing to them. Well, they proceeded. Well, I decided then to start introducing young kids to the game. And myself and a few other people started a foundation called Glove Foundation. And we've been around now since 2009, and we're 501c3. But we mentor young kids through the game of golf. We have the first tee national school program and LPGA girls golf program implemented in 51 elementary schools in Mobile County, both private and public. Each school received two large duffel bags of golf equipment called Snag back then, starting new at golf, and it was free. The teachers were trained by the first tee as far as delivering the curriculum. So since then, we have probably served over 600 kids over the last few years. Normally we have about 200 kids in our program, but this year, because of the COVID, we couldn't go to the schools and have them to participate.
Now, do you have sectionals coming up soon with the golf program?
Well, at Bishop, we have our regionals this week. We leave Sunday, and it'll be Monday and Tuesday, the 54-hole event, 36 holes on Monday and 18 on Tuesday. From there, we'll go play in a district, which includes Florida, Georgia, Alabama. And so from there, should we qualify, I think the top seven teams get to go to the Nationals. So we'll have to finish in the top seven.
Now, we go back. You were an outstanding football player at Alabama State back in the late 70s. You even played a year with Toronto in the Canadian Football League. How did you gravitate to golf?
Well, when I was young, about 9 years old, my uncle used to take me to play at Craig Air Force Base in Selma. And then he got deployed back to Vietnam. He rejoined the Army and went to Vietnam. And I didn't have anywhere to play. And so basically, I put golf down. I didn't have anything to do with golf. Didn't even pick up a golf club. When I went to Canada, Willie Woods and I and Bruce Clark, a couple other guys, Conridge Holloway, all of us used to go to the driving range at night just to, you know, unwind. And pretty much then I got back into it. And when I moved back to Mobile, a friend of mine invited me to go play with him one day. I didn't even have any clubs. And I went to a pawn shop and bought me a set of clubs for $50. And from there, I got hooked again. And I've been playing it ever since.
Coach, actually, you want to hang on just for a couple minutes? We got to go to a break, but we want to continue and talk a little bit about your Toronto days and Alabama State and that kind of thing, just for a couple minutes, and then we'll let you go, I promise. So, but we're continuing here. We're up against a break. It's the Bishop State Spring Championship Drive. We're at Saraland High School. Mark Heim, Lee Trevanian, right here on the sports station, WNSP and WNSP.com. Also, when we get back, we will get you some updates on the Masters. And a reminder, you can download our show or any WNSP content.
Today's music on Sports Radio 105.5 is brought to you by 92.1 The Zoo.
Now, I've really been trying to prepare hard for this Masters and been working on my game, been seeing a lot of improvement on the range. And my coach, Sean, said, listen, buddy, I don't know if you're close. I just know it's better.
Right.
So that's where I came into today. And obviously the start was slow, but a little bit of experience kicked in knowing that this is a tough day out here. And being 2 over through 7, I just knew if I could keep it around even par for the day, decent day's work.
All right, it's 8:34. Welcome back in. The Bishop State Spring Drive for Championships continues here on WNSP. We're out at Saraland High School.
You know, in college, test optional is not an option, so call Huntington Learning Center to prep for the ACT, SAT at 1-800-CAN-LEARN-TODAY. One of our sponsors for Drive for Spring Championships, joining Bayou Fasteners, Andrus Jewelry, Patco Air Conditioning Service. Call the name you know, call Patco, plus a word to Craneworks, LNS Air Conditioning, and Ward International Trucks. Ron Davis, the golf coach at Bishop State, hanging with us here in Air Sports One. We talked about Bishop State's golf team, but off the air we reminisced about Ron's college career at Alabama State and then the 1 year or 2 years in Canadian Football League. And Ron, do you have any regrets that you never got a chance to really compete in the National Football League at that time?
Yes and no. I learned early that you have to pay attention to what God puts in front of you. He gives you an opportunity, but you have to also see that that may not be an opportunity to go in that direction, but there's something else there. And I'll never forget when I worked at NCR Corporation, because for the 2 years that I didn't get a chance to play ball, I worked in my field of study, which is system science, and I worked at NCR Corporation, Dayton, Ohio. Well, I had a workout with Dick LeBeau at Cincinnati, and then a couple of days later, that's when Willie Woods contacted me, a former teammate of mine, Terry Greer, who just recently, last fall, got inducted into the Canadian Football League Hall of Fame. Terry had told Willie about me, and he contacted me. And all the other teams, Dallas, I went out there for a workout, so forth. But all of them were, you know, basically just having me to come work out. Well, Willie dangled a contract in my face. So I took the contract and I went to Canada. Well,
The crew that I worked with at NCR, I had a mentor. Her name was Chrissy Lark. And Chrissy asked me, Ronnie, what are you going to do after this football thing doesn't work out? And it's bone-chilling to realize what I said to her. I said, I'm going to teach at a community college in Mobile, well, junior college in Mobile, Alabama.
And this was back in the...
This was in 1980.
80, yeah. Okay.
81. And the prior year, I had interviewed with Dr. Bishop. He saw my wedding announcement in the paper and asked me to come down for a job interview. And he offered me a job on the spot as assistant director of computer services. Well, the interview was kind of crazy, and I chose not to get back with him. Well, when I left Canada, I came back, and I didn't have a job. And I passed by the school, and I stopped. Went in there to see him. He walked out of the office, and he saw me, and he asked me, I can't say on air with the things he said to me. But basically, he said, I offered you a job on the spot, and I hadn't heard from you. And I was about to reply, and he said, stop lying. You don't have a job, do you? And I said, no, sir. He said, well, I held a job open for you. You still want it. Again, this is God. I interviewed with Dr. Bishop. He hired me that day. That Sunday, he died. That's a heart attack. So if that's not what I've done for the last 40 years, and not what God wanted me to do, I don't know what.
Ron Davis is the head golf coach at Bishop State. He joins us here in Air Sports One here on the campus of Sarah Land High School. Coach, we can't thank you enough for spending some time with us. I know it's been a great ride for you, and here we are on the verge of you and your team getting ready to compete at the regionals this weekend coming up. Before we let you go, that transition from football to golf and coaching all along the way on so many different levels, what has that meant to you to coach high school kids in football and now to have this opportunity at Bishop State to kind of pass along not only the game, but clearly life lessons you've learned along the way?
Well, one of the things coaching at Blount with Coach Harris and I were teammates at Alabama State University, and when he got the job at Blount, he called me that weekend and told me he had been offered the basketball coaching job at Daphne High School, but then Blount was offering him the football, and so he and I talked for a while, and I said to him, I said, well, Ben, you know where your love is. And he said, well, Blount doesn't have a whole lot of resources. I said, well, you know that what's meant for you will be for you. And so we all, myself and a few other guys that were his good friends, went with him and helped him coach. Well, along the way, you get to meet young people who don't have the parenting resources that a lot of kids have. You take the Sherman Williams, the Damian Craigs, the Alonzo Wheelers. I mean, all of these kids, they just had the fortitude to play the game of football. And they were taught life skills along the way. That's one thing I have to give Ben Harris. He really taught them life skills, how to endure and how to make decisions. And if you make a bad decision, you have to learn to correct it. You know, you just can't dwell on it. And with that, we all learn the same thing. One of the things that I always carry with me is a simple prayer that I say every morning. And that prayer is, Lord, this is the beginning of a new day. You have given me this day to use as I will. I can waste it or I can use it for good. What I do today is important, for when tomorrow comes, this day will be gone forever. Leaving in this place something I have traded for it. I want to be gained, not lost. Good, not evil. Success, not failure. In order that I may know the price that I paid for it, and give thanks to God. And with that, before every tournament, that's what I try to get the kids to realize, that this is just another day. And you've been blessed with it. Use it to the best of your ability. If you make a mistake, you can correct it and just move on. Golf is a game where you can't have a long-term memory in a sense as far as a bad shot. It's got to be short-term. You make a bad shot, realize what you did, and on the next shot that's similar to it, because every golf shot is different. I mean, people might say you swing the club the same, Well, you got so many different factions in the game of golf. You got the, of course, the ball is steel. You got to initiate the swing. You've got to make the contact with the club at the right angle in order to get it to go in the right direction. The ball may be below your feet. It may be above your feet. You may be standing on the side heel lie. You may be in the rough. You may be in the penalty area, you name it. But every shot is different, so you have to adjust your shot or your swing to accommodate that shot. And that's why golf is so difficult. You have to learn to do the same thing over and over and over and over and again, and it requires a lot of concentration, and that's a big thing.
It's been a pleasure to see you.
Thank you, Larry. Thank you for being great.
I hope you come back.
Okay.
After you win the championship, right? After Bishop State wins the championship, you come
back? Yeah, well, right now we're playing fairly decent, but when you get at that level, it's tough. It's really tough, and you got to have four players that are really on the top of their game for those three rounds. Well, actually, in the Nationals, it's four rounds.
But you know, as well as what you're doing at Bishop, it's just a blip for all you've done in the Mobile area. You know, we've followed your career, and like you said, you've been on the LAD board. You've been very visible.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thanks for spending some time with us. We appreciate it.
And I'll tell Wayne Rose to say hello.
Oh, don't tell that man anything from me.
Better yet, give him Mark's cell phone.
Yes!
and just a reunion.
Yes,
Ron, a reunion between the two of them.
Okay.
Tell the Godfather I said hello.
All right.
So one final segment. We're going to get out of here. The Bishop State Spring Drive for Championship continues from Saraland High School at Sports Radio 105.5 FM, WNSP, and WNSP.com.
This is Andrew Zhao, Alabama former quarterback. You're listening to WNSP 105.5.
Yeah, very gracious. Another Red Sox searching U.S. Gaz out in front of the plate. Give the fans the opportunity.
And every Red Sox on the infield slapping their glove, cheering for Trey Mancini. Wow, that's pretty special.
8:48, one final segment of the week here in Air Sports One. Mark, I'm Lee Shervanian. We're at Saraland High School. It's the Bishop State Spring Drive for Championships.
Mark, that was one of the real moving moments yesterday in baseball. We talked a lot about, of course, the controversy and the Mets winning on a hit-by-batter with the bases loaded when, in essence, the pitch was a strike and should have been called a strike. The umpires admitted they blew the call, and the Mets won. But the moment with Trey Mancini, was out last year with colon cancer. He was a cancer survivor. So when he was introduced at the Orioles home opener, of course, he got a standing ovation, which was a really, really nice gesture from the fans that were allowed to come into the stadium. Do want to thank Mobile Oral and Facial Surgery, along with Greer's Marketing, Cash Saver, and Chick-fil-A. I will say this, over the weekend, you know, you're going to be very busy with basketball. There'll be football scrimmages at South Alabama, I believe at Alabama, and I know at Auburn. So we'll be recapping or at least talking about any information we can get. I did get a phone call yesterday. I finally got permission from Auburn that we can have Brett Betzel on with us. Brett's now hired by Brian Harsin at Auburn. He is the he's director of high school relations up at the Auburn, and he's going to join us, and he'll actually reference the scrimmage for Auburn on Saturday, as well as some of the other things that he's going to be doing.
All right. Not a whole lot of news right now at Augusta. Mark Leishman is 3-under for the tournament through three. But other than that, most of the big hitters, heavy hitters, as they say, have not yet hit the course. But we will have updates throughout the course of the day here on WNSP for you. Our Bishop State Spring Drive for Championship takes us where next week, sir?
Cottage Hill.
Cottage Hill.
Close to you and I, our homes, will be at the Cottage Hill School. We will not be at the Baptist Church like we were last time. We'll be at the...
Yeah, that was insane.
Yeah, well, then unbelievable.
Pep rallies and...
Yeah.
Jump houses, and
I wonder if they'll have the truck.
You look
out
crazy
there.
In that jump house, by the way.
Yeah, well, that's all right. You know, give me something to do, but keep in shape. But I wonder if they'll have the food truck out there this time.
There's only one way to find out. So you guys come out and see us next Friday.
You know what's really unique, though, and I was talking to Chris Brazel, the athletic director. Normally, when we go out to spring meetings, we like to get baseball, we like to get spring football, and the AD. Chris does all of it.
Oh, well.
So he handles baseball.
So we're only going to be out there for a half hour.
Exactly.
Then.
One segment. He's going to handle all of it. He's the AD, he's the baseball coach, and the football coach.
So a reminder, if you missed any of our interviews today or any of our content during the course of the week, download our show or any WNSP content wherever you get your favorite podcast. So you go to TuneIn, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher, iHeartRadio. You will find WNSP.
Really want to thank the coaches out here for coming aboard. We had a couple of reunions, which was nice, and we talked about some of them, whereas I interviewed one of the soccer coach 32 years ago, I think he said.
Yeah.
32 years ago.
32 years ago. He remembered. You didn't.
He remembered. Yeah, he had a very, very good memory. And then, of course, with the baseball and the softball coaches, both at West Alabama. So we had some fun here. We really did. Mark, obviously Monday the Masters will be the big topic of conversation. I know we'll have John Ricchetti. We may have another interview or two about that. But right now, and I was... It was interesting here because John doesn't usually go overboard on like an opinion, but I asked him about Justin Rose, and emphatically John said he does not expect Justin Rose to be around at the finish on Sunday.
Well, and I was reminded of this by Stephen Root, who is doing a bang-up job back at the studios for us, so thank you, Mr. Root. He did remind me that John did pick Bryson DeChambeau to win, so maybe I'm just saying – He might not be the best guy to ask. That's all I'm saying. If John Ricchetti and Mark Heim are picking one of the same golfers to win it.
Bryson's got some ground to pick up today if he's going to make the cut.
That's all right. My dark horse made a killing in round one. So, and to be honest with you, I don't even know who the golfer. I can't remember who I picked. I told you, we wrote it down on a piece of paper, and I'd be shocked if I could keep it through Monday. I didn't make it through the day, that piece of paper.
Well, I'm going to say this. I actually hope Justin Rose finishes well and wins. The guy hasn't won it. He's led four times into the second round. He's off the board when it comes to experts predicting. You don't hear his name very much. I think it'd be a great story. I really do. To Rory McIlroy's dad, you might want to wear some body armor. Maybe Mike Conforto of the Mets can send you some body armor just in case.
Man, brutal. Yeah, we talked about it earlier. Like, what are the? First of all, the chance of hitting a spectator is not great. But then to actually, that spectator actually be your father. I mean, there's probably a better chance of winning the lottery. But that's exactly what happened. Luckily, it was harmful. I think it bounced off his leg or something. It didn't plug him in the head or anything.
And actually, I think instead of going in a bad direction, it went in a good direction, right? Off his leg?
Yeah, I think he got a favorable lie off the hit. Yeah, but, I mean, just the odds of that happening.
Because there aren't that many, there's not as many spectators there. It's not like you're a real big gallery or something where you can't get out of the way. That's what got me because I saw it, and it was like, well, you know, he could have moved either way.
All right, so we didn't get a chance to really talk a whole lot about it, but I'm curious in the last few minutes there. So what happened in the Mets baseball game last year? Do you applaud the heads-up play?
No.
Why not?
You mean the play for Conforto?
Yeah. Do you say Conforto,
no.
Nice job? I mean, that was a headsy play.
No. No, I
do.
Like I said, if I was back maybe in the 60s and 70s when Met victories were few and far between, I'd be celebrating, but not now. No, I think that's a bet. That's bad for baseball when the umpires screw up that badly.
It is, but that's not on Conforto necessarily. I mean, if the umpires make the correct call there,
when you have your own announcing team denouncing what happened, and I have a lot of respect for Gary Cole.
I thought it was a headsy play by him. I'm not saying it's good for the game, although I'm talking about baseball, so in that respect, it's good for the game.
Well, my point is, why aren't you swinging at a 1-2 pitch right over the middle? Why are you putting your hand out?
Well, it wasn't right over the middle. It was definitely a strike.
That was a strike.
It was definitely a strike, but it wasn't right down the middle. It was on the corner of the plate. It was definitely a strike.
Well, you saw it differently than I did. That was a really, really good pitch.
Well, it seemed to work out for him, so... I mean, I'm sure the pitcher at this point, looking back in retrospect, should have just beamed the dude in the head. I mean, the guy's going to get hit by a pitch, you might as well hit the guy.
You know, and then the thing is, back when you had relievers come in, they didn't throw like they do now, 99, 98. These guys are not lobbing it up there.
You want to know, in all seriousness for a second, you want to know a great way to stop these guys from leaning in? Tell them to get rid of all the equipment.
Well, he did have quite a few body armor.
You know, it's kind of like that whole targeting rule. You don't want guys targeting? Don't make the helmet so safe, right? That you remember we had that whole argument years ago?
Yeah.
Don't let these dudes have all this stuff on. He looks like Iron Man out there.
It just really surprised me that the umpire didn't make the correct call at the time, because I've seen very few instances this has happened where they have called the batter back and said, no, you're out, you can't do that. That's what really surprised me. Am I happy the Mets won? Sure I am. But as far as how they won, here's the other thing we haven't even talked about, Trevor Bauer. The other day he pitched, they took some of the baseballs, they've sent it to be investigated. Suspicious baseballs, sticky substance on it. I mean, we're talking about the most prized free agent during the offseason, and in that first inning, they've confiscated the